Reading number 15, Zahidan. Think of it as a promotion, Evie tried to soften my obvious shock. I'd been posted 400 miles south to replace the vice consul at Zahidan, a trade crossing in Iranian Baluchistan. He'd scarpered for home on 6 months' sick leave. When I arrived, I knew why. If ever an area could be described as blasted, Iranian Baluchistan deserves such an adjective. The only signs of life on the salt-encrusted plateau, apart from scanty cultivation, were camel thorn and tamarisk. Nomads wandered the arid uplands and rocky hills in search of pasture, quenched their thirst from brackish mudholes. Eroded low mountain ranges rose a few thousand feet and trapped the plateau in its bare brown arms. Intense cold alternated with fierce heat, and for 4 interminable months every orifice and surface of my body stung from scorching sands, blown by the wind of 120 days. The vice resident's grim mud bungalow, half a mile outside Zahidan's ramshackle town, lay close to the Iranian barracks and derelict buildings of the defunct railhead. With the exception of 2 official buildings built since the war, Zahidan's downtown consisted of 3 shops run by Sikhs, a scattering of houses constructed with earth and wooden railway sleepers withered unseen, behind high mud walls to keep the desert out. Repair garages abounded to service the grinding motor traffic, passing through Zahidan day and night in ballooning dust clouds. Why Britain or any other country maintained a consulate in such a godforsaken place escaped me. Trade, politics, power, what else? Only the month before I arrived, our confidential clerk was robbed at knife point by bandits. Robber's Well, the literal translation of Zahidan's original name, Duzdap, suited. Devoid of incentive, I twiddled my thumbs, wondering what the hell I was doing. Despite all that time on my hands, not one poetic line welled, my mind barren as the treeless desert. Leafing through the consulate files in the safe, I uncovered a cache of money in the Secret Service Fund where it had lain untouched for 20 years. Spend, spend, spend! My idle fingers twitched, counting ways to use every penny. An idea festered. Create an oasis in Zahidan's hellhole as I'd created in Aden. Telegraphs boomerang to Meshed. With Evie's go-ahead for what I called improvements, the drab bungalow and guardroom transformed to gleaming white. Next improvement, a garden. 6 salt-resistant palms and pink flowering oleander later, my haven began taking shape. To make it worthy of a British consulate, I added a squash court, small swimming pool, and hired 2 men and a bullock to draw water from the garden well and keep it filled. My oasis was ready. My 3 and only friends and I splashed happily in the pool, sipping cool drinks from a floating bar laden with bottles and glasses. The Desert Resort, locals named it. Outlandish, wanton, flagrant misuse, government funds. Major Daly, the consul, was not amused and made to scurry back from leave. He circled my name with black. But until Major Daly returned, life dragged and I had weeks and weeks to fill. Was I hallucinating? Driving 300 miles across Lutz's burning desert from Quetta, 2 snow-capped cones floated 13,000 feet above the bare brown hills like a fire beacon in the rays of the setting sun. Ku-i-taftan. I was hers that instant, obsessed. I desired to climb her. Problem. Semi-active, the volcano lay near the South Baluchistan-Iranian military stronghold on the Indo-Iranian border. I needed a pass from the Iranians. With an eye on the coveted pass, I engineered weekly calls on the local Iranian governor with the feeblest of trumped-up pretexts. I needed his advice, an extradition warrant, settle some dispute, discuss damaged crops, compensation. He'd greet me courteously and over many cups of Russian tea exchange banalities through a haze of Isfahani cigarettes, well aware of my agenda. I knew he knew. When etiquette finally allowed me to mention the purpose of my visit, he'd shake his head and refuse me permission under a cloak of vague excuses. Concern for my safety. Strict no trespass rule. A military area. Perhaps when the tribal uprising was over, it might become possible, he'd conclude. Kuh-i-Taftan, such a beautiful mountain. Shame only a foreigner, an Englishman, not an Iranian, had ever conquered her. I'd press my point. The prestige of Persia is at stake. Now, if an Iranian expedition should achieve the summit, then perhaps, if such an Iranian expedition were arranged, I could accompany it. Only a madman wanted to climb the place of heat, Kuh-i-Taftan, the mountains of the fire, belching poisonous, sulphurous fumes where the air was so rare a man might scarcely breathe. I must be a spy fishing for military secrets, a spy to be humoured. To be rid of me, the governor gave me permission to shoot black partridge. You must be accompanied by a guard and travel no further beyond the border than Ladis. No mention of Kuh-i-Taftan. I arrived at the border post above Mirjawa without incident to find the local governor had secret orders to restrict my pass to Ladis. Yes, he had heard from the governor of Zahidan, but the area near Ladis was very unsettled. He did his utmost to dissuade me. I remained politely insistent. It took many cups of tea before my host mentioned a certain X was on his way to Kash. Perhaps if he agreed to meet me, matters could be arranged. X, patriarch of the nomads, couldn't have been more helpful. I found him camped just beyond Ladis, sharpening a wickedly curved knife on a whetstone, surrounded by armed brigands swathed in indigo and rust-dyed turbans. X, a tall, bearded man in homespun clothes and heavily armed with both rifle and his knife, remained seated, his eyes glinting from what little I could see of his face. He waved, indicating a saddlebag. "Sit," he commanded. "I invite you to my humble supper." Three black partridge dripped invitingly from a spit over the embers. The tribesmen sat on their haunches in half-circle on the far side of the fire, poised like hawks to defend their leader to the death should I make one wrong move. But I was no threat. I was in my element, relaxed, smiling, free as I was in India's Himalayas. Forbidden, I knew, but I'd crossed the border to scale Kuh-i-Taftan, the volcano climbed only once before. We talked far into the night, sipping sweet mint tea, swapping tales of mountains conquered, dangers we'd overcome, and of the peace we found in nature's timeless beauty and its wild. Two cultures melded, sharing common ground, two faces glowing in the firelight. We dined beneath the stars. I was home. "I'll accompany you part way in the morning," my new friend, the patriarch of the nomads, offered as I departed for my own camp. Just after daybreak, he clambered beside me into my standard 14 and guided me a short way along a hidden track leading southwards toward Quash and the Indian Ocean. "Here," he said, leaping out, one embrace, and he was gone. Distances were deceptive in that pristine atmosphere. Kuh-i-Taftan's peaks remained as remote as a picture postcard, despite a two-hour scramble over her boulder-strewn lower slopes. 1 p.m., the incline steepened into a cliff-like slope skirting the base. My Baluchi guard squatted on strike, lowered his rifle, refusing to take another step.
Bad spirits, I not go. Wait here for Sahib.
I left him, anxious, in a shady ravine, squatting by a muddy pool. Kui Taftan's twin peaks loomed high above, wreathed in smoke. Wading through soft volcanic powder, tortoise slow, I inched over ash-covered, sun-baked granite to 11,000 feet, my teeth filmed with grit. 4 p.m., when at last I reached the sulfur-encrusted rubble, a low rumble, a slight tremor beneath my feet, a puff of smoke and a shower of ashes made me bound for safety. A cold breeze whistled airily in the rocks. Looking back, I suddenly shivered, half expecting a tenuous form to materialize from the vapor. The only living being, and far above the world, Kui Taftan's superstitious fears and legends gnawed reality, reminding me I was alone and day was fading fast. Reaching for my pocket flask, I took a swig of brandy and turned my back on her foul-smelling form. 7 p.m. My guard touched my feet, greeting me as an apparition returned from the dead. He cranked the standard's start handle. 5 hours later, we lurched into Zahidan. I was in trouble. The grapevine hummed red. News of my deeds already preceded my arrival. Not only was I half a day late, worse, I had eaten with the rebel leader, a bandit heading Britain's most wanted list. So that's who he was, my hospitable patriarch of the nomads. I read the cipher telegram addressed to me. Explain action. Bandit leader X, Indo-Iranian border infraction. Within the month, Colonel Daly had me transferred out of Iran and posted to South Waziristan on the northwest frontier of India as assistant political agent. Count yourself lucky, Rose. You've not been dismissed, he concluded. There were worse places than Waziristan in my book. One last defiant swim, I emptied the dust from my boots and exited Zahidan, a happy man.